This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I just wanted to start with this introduction to feel that our hearts need to start reconnecting with Allah. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, our hearts will never start reconnecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we start purifying them. And this is why I'm going to start with the first lesson in Surah Yusuf by talking about some of the diseases of the heart. Some of the diseases of the heart. And by that, I'm not talking about cardiology. No. I'm talking about diseases that the cardiologists cannot deal with. And the first one is when Yusuf alayhi salam started sharing his dream with his father. Are you ready for the surah, inshallah? Are you ready for the surah? Can you give me some charity? I'm not asking for money. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa." You know, your smile is a sadaqa, inshallah. Can you smile?
Yes.
Okay. Smile, akhi. No, no, not this way. I want a real one. Okay. So, I want you to imagine now an old man. His name is Yaqub alayhi salam. Is sitting with a child, his name is Yusuf alayhi salam. And look at the loving relationship between the father and the son. The son is very close to his father. And this is why he's going to sit with him now and going to say, "Dad, I saw a dream and I want to share that dream with you." What's the relationship between the fathers and the kids today? You know, when the kid tries to come close to his father, it's like, you know, "Dad, yes, I want to talk to you. Don't you see I'm over the phone? I'm talking. But you've been talking for ages. And I want to talk to you. Okay, wait until I finish." And then once you hang up, he comes like, "Dad, can I talk to you now?" I have to check the email. Then, do you know where the child will go? Sometimes to his bad friends. And he's going to share what he wanted to share with you, with them. So we want to learn lesson number one. Be close to your children. Give them time. And when I say give them time, I don't mean have this body with them at home for a few hours while you're texting and phoning and emailing and watching the TV. No, I'm talking about quality time. Quality time. You know, when the sisters go to the imam, the local imam, and they say, "You know, I miss my husband." And he asks her, like, you know, "Why, isn't he in Malaysia?" It's like, "No, he's in Malaysia." It's like, "Oh, is he working in another city?" "No. He comes back home every day at 5 o'clock. But you know what? He always sits with his second wife." Who is his second wife? The TV? Sometimes the laptop? Sometimes I call it the crack phone instead of the BlackBerry. I call it the crack phone. It becomes addiction, right? And then subhanAllah, the imam will come and bring the brothers, like, you know, "You need to spend time with your wife." It's like, "Okay, I will." And the next session when he comes, he asks the sister, "How is it going?" "Alhamdulillah." You know what this alhamdulillah means, right? Because as Muslims, we say alhamdulillah all the time. Even if your wife beats you up in the morning before you go to work, you say alhamdulillah. So the imam will ask him, like, you know, "She's still unhappy. What's going on?" It's like, "Wallahi, I spend 8 hours with her every day. What else does she want?" And that attitude is wrong. You know why? It means that he'll come back from work and mashallah, she has been waiting for him, spending so much time with the three little monkeys, three little angels at home, and she's hassling with them all the day, and yet, you know, she's giving him his right as a husband. She's adorning herself and she prepared, like, you know, the nasi lemak that he likes to eat. And am I saying it correctly? Nasi Lamak? Okay. And even the chindal is ready too, after, like, you know, the meal. Chindal, right? Okay. She's doing everything that she can. And he comes from work because his boss is giving him a hard time. And she opens the door with a smile. Like, you know, welcome back, honey. It's like, okay, let me just go to my room and change. And he goes to his room, and, you know, he comes back wearing, you know, the pajamas that he has been wearing for the last 24 years. With 111 on his face. You know this 111? And she's still smiling, like, you know, what's wrong? It's like, nothing. And then he will spend hours in front of the TV. And his wife's like, you know, honey, there is an issue with the kids that I want to talk to you about. And he's going to say, later on, after we finish this, inshallah. And she will wait. And then it's over. Okay. Can we eat in silence, inshallah? It's like, why? Is it a sunnah to eat in silence? We can discuss things while we're eating. You see what I'm trying to say? And subhanAllah, once he eats the Nasir Lamak, followed by the chindal, he goes to bed for a nap. And this is the 8 hours that he's saying he's spending with his wife. Was there a dialogue between them? So the first lesson, we need to talk to each other at home. And communication is two-way traffic. It's not one way. So we learn from the first scene in Surah Yusuf, two lessons. We need to enhance our relationship with our kids. We want to be close to them so they can open up and come and talk to us, not to the bad friends. Second lesson, even for the husband and the wife, we need to start communicating with each other. So he shared with him the dream. And his father said to him after he shared the dream, قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Oh my dear little son, look at the language. يا بني. لم يقل يا ابني. If he said يا ابني, it means oh my son. But he said يا بني. يا بني تصغير. It means oh my dear little son. Can we choose this language when we speak to our kids? You know how some parents speak to their kids? Hey, Mr. Stupid, come here. Hey, Mr. Animal, didn't I tell you don't do this and this and that? SubhanAllah. The language that you use with your children, it builds up their personality and their self-confidence. So always call him, hey, next Omar, inshallah. Hey, Abu Bakr. Hey, Imam. Hey, Doctor. Give him a title that he's going to look up to that. Motivate him. Not demotivate him. So use a good language. Choose the best name and call them. Ya Bunay, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. Do not share this dream with your brothers. Why? فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. Because they might plot something bad against you. Why? His brothers were jealous of him. And that's the first disease of the heart. The Prophet ﷺ talked about jealousy. He said, beware of jealousy. Because it erases. It's like a razor. And he said, I don't mean that it erases the hair like the razor, but it erases the deen. So it takes the whole deen away. So be careful. What's the meaning of jealousy, dear brothers and sisters? Jealousy is the grudge in somebody's heart when they feel somebody is blessed with something. So they would wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away from him. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a motorbike, right? And then you're starting it in the morning and somebody passes by you in a black Mercedes 213. So you look at the Mercedes and say, A'udhu billah. How do these people make money? This must be a thief. May Allah crush him in his car, inshallah. It's like, why? Why? This is jealousy. Why don't you do the opposite? Say, oh Allah, bless his car for him and give me a Mercedes like this, inshallah. What about this? Isn't this better? This is a good heart. This is a pure heart. So let's try to work on our hearts. Don't be jealous of someone if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with something. So jealousy is one of the most serious diseases. But somebody amongst the audience might ask me this question. It's like, you know, so that feeling of envy is haram all the way? No. It's halal only in two scenarios. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. You can only be envious of someone in two scenarios. رجل آتاه الله القرآن. Someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with the knowledge of the Quran. So, فهو يتلوه آناء الليل وأطراف النهار. So he recites it and teaches it like, you know, day and night. So you should be envious of that person. Meaning, the good meaning of envy. Meaning, oh Allah, keep his, you know, keep that blessing for him and give me the same. ورجل آتاه الله المال فسلطه على هلكته في الحق. And someone who's wealthy, he has lots of money, and he spends that money to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you see that person say, oh Allah, you know, increase him inshallah in his blessing, and give me like him, and I will do like him inshallah. These are the two scenarios. Let's move into another lesson. We talked about the dream. There are three types of dreams. First one is called Hadith al-Nafs. Second one is from Shaitan, and this is a nightmare. Third one is from Ar-Rahman, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is called Ru'ya. And this is why he said to him, لا تقصص رؤياك. So let's talk about each one in detail. First one is called Hadith al-Nafs, meaning, you know when you are obsessed during the day with something? What's your name, brother? Marwan, mashallah, Marwan. What type of car would you like to drive, inshallah? Proton? You want to support the national industry? Okay, which type of car? Ferrari? Proton. He's going to run for the elections, mashallah. I love Malaysia. He will write this on the back of the car. I love Malaysia. Okay. Now, every time Marwan walks in the street and he sees a Proton, he stops there and he starts dreaming. Wow. I'm seeing that day, inshallah, in 10 years from now, I'm going to save my allowance and I'm going to have my Proton. Red in color? What color would you like it? Red? Green? MashaAllah. It matches with his thawb, MashaAllah. Green. He's a fashionable man. So, my green Proton will be parked in front of the house. And I'm going to take my father to the masjid. So he keeps thinking about the proton all the time. So when he goes to sleep, what do you think he's going to dream of? Proton. And once the person wakes up, if you ask him, do you remember the dream? It's like, no, I think the only word that I remember is proton. I keep saying in that dream. So this is called hadith al-nafs. When you are so preoccupied with something, okay, it just comes to your dream, and the sign to know it is that you will not remember anything, and it's very short. This one, just disregard it, don't worry. Okay? Now, the second type of dream is a nightmare, and this comes from shaitan. You know, how many people are married here? Raise your hands. Married people. Oh, there are two cameras. You can't hide it anyway. Your wives are at the back. Okay, so now, you know, fights in marriage, I call them the spices of marriage. If there are no fights in marriages, marriage becomes monotonous. You know? So imagine before you go to bed, you had a fight with your wife. And then you go to bed, and while you're sleeping, all of a sudden, your wife is coming from the kitchen with something in her hand. And she's coming close. She's coming close. Until the knife is exactly very close to your neck. And you say, no! No! And then you wake up. And once you wake up, you look next to you, and there's an angel sleeping. She doesn't have a knife in her hand. But you know what shaitan will do? You're going to look at her and say, because of the fight last night, this is what you're thinking about. You know what? I better do it before you do it. Let me go to the kitchen. So what you have seen in this dream is from shaitan. Listen carefully. If it is something bad like this, this is a nightmare and it's from shaitan. Why? Because one of the jobs of shushu, of shaitan, is to try to cause enmity between people. Especially between the husband and the wife. So if you see something bad like this, what do you need to do? All what you need to do, change your sight and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. And puff to your left 3 times like this. And they change sight. Sometimes we see in a dream that I'm driving my car and I'm crashing with another car. You know what some people do? They wake up in the morning, I'm not going to drive my car today. This is shaitan again, trying to scare you. We do not act upon nightmares. Because shaitan again is trying to scare you. So, say dua. The dua that you, when you leave the house, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Say the dua when you, inshallah, start riding your car. And you say, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ Inshallah, drive your car. So first of all, we just ignore it. We know it's from shaitan. And we don't act upon it. Third type of dreams is what Yusuf alayhi salam saw. Sometimes you see yourself in a very vast land and it's all green. All trees and fruits and, you know, people smiling as if it is Jannah. Right? This is a good sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you see something good in your dream, what should you do? Like Yusuf alayhi salam. So what he saw, the Prophet salam said, share it only with those whom you love and trust. Because you see, Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he say to his son? He said, do not share it with your brothers because they have jealousy in their hearts. So share a good dream with those whom you love and trust. A funny story, there's a scholar called Ibn Sirin. And wherever you go, you'll find that book in Arabic and translated in languages. Ibn Sirin didn't write a book about interpretation of dreams. He was a scholar. And interpretation of dreams, by the way, is not a science. If you see this, this means this. And somebody can teach you how to interpret dreams. No, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given this specially to Yusuf alayhi salam. وَكَذَٰلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected you.
وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ.
And teach you the interpretation of dreams. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ, Prophet Muhammad, was excellent also at interpreting dreams. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was, you know, an expert in interpreting dreams. So it's not everyone. It's not everyone. And it's not a science. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, at the time of Ibn Sirin, people after him, you know, they compiled the book and they wrote his name, just used his name because he was famous. But he didn't write a book about interpretation of dreams. But anyway, Allah has given him the blessing of and the ability to interpret dreams. So one time, the ruler at his time, he saw a dream. And he wanted interpretation. So he came to him and he knocked on the door. And the maid opened the door. And the ruler asked, like, you know, where's Ibn Sirin? She said, he's upstairs resting. He said, because I saw a dream and I want him to interpret it for me. She said, what is the dream? He said, I saw that I was like climbing a high place and then I fell down and I broke my knee. She said, don't share it with anyone and go home. So like, imagine the maid is saying this to the ruler. She's like, you know, what? You're telling me what to do? And he pushed her and he started climbing the stairs and he fell down and he broke his knee. So he started saying, Ibn Sirin woke up and said, she told you, don't share it because it will happen. And it did happen. So if it's something bad, do not talk about it at all. Don't share it with others. Don't say, I saw a snake last night in my dream. No, don't go there. Don't share. Okay, let's move to another lesson from Surah Yusuf. And here we're going to talk about, again, the husband-wife relationship. We all know about Al-Aziz, okay? Al-Aziz was something like the Minister of Finance at that time in Egypt. And his wife played an important role in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because when they took Yusuf alayhi salam as a slave and they bought him, so after he was a free person, he became a slave and he's serving now at the house of Al-Aziz. He was very young. He's almost like 6 to 7 years old, according to the books of Tafsir. And he spent many years. So who raised him? The wife of Al-Aziz. So he was in her house for almost more than 30 years. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ said something about Yusuf. He said, لَقَدْ أُوتِيَ يُوسُفْ شَطْرَ الْجَمَالِ. Yusuf alayhi salam was given half the beauty on earth. So he was so handsome. And who raised him? The wife of Al-Aziz. And she was a very beautiful woman. So imagine now, he was a child. And she was raising him. So he, like, his feelings towards her as if she's his mother. Right? But then she developed other feelings when he grew up. And he became an adult. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبَوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. First lesson here. Mixing leads to problems. Mixing leads to problems. Because how would a haram relationship start? Can anybody tell me? How would any illegal relationship start? Can somebody tell me? What's the first thing? Hold on. Eyes, looking, right? Do you agree with him? Looking? No, there is something that happens before looking. If the other gender is not there, you can't look, right? So it's mixing, right? That's what I'm trying to say at the beginning. So it starts with mixing. And then after mixing, looking. And after looking, talking. And then meeting, right? So this is lesson number one. Okay, so let's go back to the surah. So this is what happened. She seduced him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that she made a perfect plan. What did she do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. I want you to stop here in Arabic. Allah said, وَغَلَّقَتْ. He didn't say, وَأَغْلَقَتْ. غَلَّقَتْ أي أَحْكَمَتِ الْأَغْلَاقِ. If Allah said, أَغْلَقَتْ only, it means like she fastened the door. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, she firmly fastened the doors. The books of Tafsir said, there were seven doors, a door behind a door behind a door. So she had a plan. And look at the words in the ayah tells you about the personality of the wife of Al-Aziz. Allah said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. It's not بَيْتِهَا, it's بَيْتِ الْعَزِيزِ. But this tells you from the very beginning, she is the one who is in command. She's the man of the house. Why? I'll tell you this. And that's my statement, by the way. It's not a tafsir or not in the Quran. If the woman doesn't find a real man in the house, she refuses to live with another woman, then she becomes the man. Let me say this again. If the woman doesn't find a real man in the house, she refuses to live with another woman, then she turns out to be the man. Is that clear? Okay, I'll give you an example. And by man here, by the way, I don't mean somebody with long mustaches or somebody with like strong biceps, like muscles. This is not manliness. This is not manliness. I'm saying a good Muslim who knows his job to guide his family to Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summed up the mission of a believer in Surah number 66, ayah number 6. It's very simple. Surah number 66, At-Tahrim, ayah number 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Say, Na'am, Ya Rab. Yes, Allah. Allah is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O you who believe. Because you left your houses and you came after 9 o'clock just to increase your knowledge about your deen. So you deserve, inshallah, this title, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And I want you, inshallah, every time you hear this in the Quran, interact with it. Say, yes, Allah, I wish I can be amongst those true believers. I am here. What's the command? Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, after Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, that's mentioned 89 times in the Quran, Allah will always command you to do something, or Allah will warn you to stay away from something. So when you hear Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, listen carefully. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That's your job. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from hellfire. You know what do we do today? Some of us work, three jobs. What are you doing? I want to secure the future of my kids. By what? By buying them a house, by buying them this, by buying them this. And you don't have time to teach them their deen. You don't have time to spend with them to teach them good character. So what is their future? What is the future of your kids? Do you want to know it? Read towards the end of Surah Al-Hashr. Again.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqu Allah waltanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad.
O you who believe, be conscious of Allah. Fear Allah and see what have you provided for tomorrow. Tomorrow is the future, right? What's tomorrow? Is it Thursday? No. Tomorrow in this ayah means the day of judgment. It means when you meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you equip your kids with something that when they pass inshallah on the sirat, they will be successful and they will make it, because the sirat is on top of Jahannam. If you pass the sirat, you made it to Jannah. If you can't pass the sirat, you will fall in Jahannam. You see what I'm saying? This is the future of the kids. So that's what I'm saying. So a man should do his job and the woman should do her job. So when the woman marries, she wants a man who will give her security, who will take care of her and lead her to Jannah. But the wife of Al-Aziz, she knows that Al-Aziz is not a man. So she was doing everything herself. Even subhanAllah, when she did what she did and she asked Yusuf alayhi salam to commit adultery with her and he refused, so he ran away from her, she chased him to the door. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ, and they raced to the door.
وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِن دُبُرٍ,
so she tore his shirt from the back. Why? Because he's running away from her and she was trying to catch him. So she tore his shirt from the back.
وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَى الْبَابِ.
Suddenly when he opened the door, she found her husband in front of the door. Look at the way she reacted right away. And look at her strong personality.
قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا.
Right away, she accused Yusuf alayhi salam. She said, what is the punishment for someone who wanted to do something wrong with your wife? Now she's asking a question, right? Shouldn't she wait to hear an answer? Say yes or yes? She should wait. But she knows that she is not dealing with a man. He's not a man. He's not going to say anything. He's not going to take any decision. So she made the decision. She completed by saying,
إِلَّا أَن يُسْجَنَ أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
You're asking a question. Wait. Wait for your man to speak. No, she said, except that his punishment, he should be thrown into jail or should be beaten up. Why? Because she still loves him. She could have said, إِلَّا أَن يُقْتَلْ, he should be killed. But she said, should be sent to jail, she'll have access to the jail. Beaten up, okay, she'll take him to the hospital and bring him back home. But look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam, he's teaching us a lesson. If you are right, if you are truthful, don't fear anyone. Look at this. First of all, he's a stranger. He's not from Egypt. His family comes from Palestine. Right? Second challenge, he is a servant. He doesn't even have his freedom. So if your master tells you to do something, you have no option but to say yes or
yes.
You have no other option. The master is talking to you. Third, nobody knows him in Egypt. If he did what he did, nobody knows him. Fourth, he's a young man, full of power. And she's a beautiful woman. But this is a lesson for the young people. Once she did what she did and she fastened the doors and she said, Hayta lak, I am yours. What's the first word that came out of his mouth?
قال معاذ الله.
He said, oh Allah, help me in this situation. Yes, he's a prophet, and prophets are infallible. They cannot make such mistakes. But yet, subhanAllah, as a human being, he said, oh Allah, it's time now to seek refuge with you. I might feel weak and respond to that woman, please help me. So when you are in a situation like this, the first words that should come out of your mouth is, ma'ad Allah. Ma'ad Allah means, oh Allah, I resort to you. You're the only one who can help me in this situation. And then he reminded her, he said, innahu rabbi. There are two opinions of tafsir, whether the word Rabb here refers to Allah or refers to Al-Aziz. But the stronger opinion is that it refers to Al-Aziz. Because the word Rabb is used in the surah many times, referring to the king. The king is not a Rabb, but figuratively speaking. قَالَ ارْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَاسْأَلْ. He's not talking about Allah, he's talking about the king. So, he said, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. He is the one who asked you. You remember, like if you go back a little bit in the surah, when they bought him, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهِ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. So he said, like, you know, isn't this the one who gave me a place to live and he provides for me? And when I betray him with his own wife. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those who transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be successful. This is a statement, and this is one of the lessons in the surah. Those who transgress the limits of Allah will never be successful. And then Yusuf alayhi salam, because he didn't do anything wrong, once she said this and she mentioned the two punishments, what did he say? His voice was out loud. He said,
قال هي راودتني عن نفسي.
It was her who tried this with me. I didn't do anything wrong. Because if he was wrong, if he was really not innocent at that point, you know, his reaction would be like this. He'll be ashamed and embarrassed. But he didn't do anything wrong. And subhanAllah, the next lesson, Allah will always prove the innocence of innocent people. Because they brought someone from her side. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Why? Because if they bring someone else, she's going to say, he's biased. So they brought someone from her own family. He said, let's look. إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِّنْ قُبُلْ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. If his shirt is torn from the front, so he was the one who's trying to attack her, and she was trying to defend herself, so she will tear the shirt from the front. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرْ. But if the shirt is torn from the back, then he's telling the truth and she's lying. And of course, everybody, you know, saw that the shirt was torn from the back, so it was her. And despite the truth, sometimes people with power will hide the truth. And Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to jail to hide the crime of the wife of Al-Aziz. And look at the strong man. After everything was clear, look at the reaction. Can you imagine? Let me ask you here, those who are married, if you see a man with your wife, how would you react? How would you react? Let's ask the new generation. Why do you turn away from me? What's your name, brother? Suhaib, mashallah, Suhaib. Suhaib, when you marry, if you see a man with your wife, what would you do? Beat him? Okay. I myself, I would kill him. I'm serious. And that's what the Sahabi said to the Prophet ﷺ. When he asked Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, if you were to see a man with your wife, what would you do? He said, I would kill both of them. And then the Sahaba were like, what? And the Prophet ﷺ said, أتعجبون من غيرة سعد? Are you amazed by the jealousy of Sa'd? And this is called protective jealousy. It's not the bad jealousy. Because if the man does not feel that protective jealousy for his wife, who else deserves that? He said, Wallahi inni la'aghyaru min Sa'd. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have more protective jealousy than Sa'd. Wallahi inna Allah la'aghyaru minni wa min Sa'd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that more than me and Sa'd. But let me take you back to Egypt at that time and look at the reaction of Al-Aziz, who was supposed to be a man. What did he say? After everything was proven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he turned around and he looked at her and he said, إِنَّهُ مِن كَيْدِكُن. This is because of your plotting. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُن عَظِيم. Oh, women, when they plot, you can't outdo them. And then he turned to Yusuf, he said,
يُوسُفُ أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا.
Please, Yusuf, don't disgrace us. Don't share this with anyone. Look at the reaction of the man. And then he turned to his wife, he said,
وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكِ إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ.
Ask Allah to forgive you. You were wrong. MashaAllah. What a brave reaction. Is this a man? Let's move on, conclude with two more lessons, and then inshallah we'll open the floor for Q&A. Another lesson from Surah Yusuf is the main lesson, is the main theme of Surah Yusuf. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody here in the room? They have never been through hardships? Is there anybody here in the room? They don't have problems in their life? How do you deal with them? How do you see them? Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summed up the meaning of this life in one word. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ لِنَبْتَلِي. The same word. This life is a test. This is not the real life. The real life is in Akhirah. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, ayah number 64.
وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ.
And this worldly life is nothing but amusement and play.
وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And the real life is the life in the hereafter. If they really know. Who's talking to your brothers and sisters? Who is making that strong statement? Is it me? Is it the Prophet ﷺ? It is the one who created life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. To test you. So don't count in this life. Whatever happens to you in this life, remember this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the situation of the believer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. Whatever happens in his or her life is good for them. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ. What's going to happen to you in this dunya? Either something good or something bad, right? إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرٌ فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ. When something good happens to him or her, they thank Allah and they are grateful to him. So this is good for them. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And when something bad happens, they are patient and it's good for them. So what's the meaning of the life of a Muslim? Repeat after me this statement. Gratitude when given. Patience when denied. That's the meaning of your life. What Allah gives you, say Alhamdulillah. When Allah denies you a job, a wife, a car, money, a child, be patient. And Allah will reward you. So the meaning of our life is between gratitude and patience. If Allah gives me, it doesn't mean Allah is pleased with me. Allah is testing me. Shall I share it? Shall I spend it the way Allah likes? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies me a child, a job, a husband, a wife, a car, a house, whatever, Allah is testing my patience. And Surah Yusuf, I teach a class, a whole class, with the Maghrib Institute called Beautiful Patience. As-Sabr al-Jameel. Because if you want to find the meaning of patience in the Quran, it's embodied in Surah Yusuf. And the situation that I want to share with you is when the brothers heard about the dream of Yusuf and they really plotted something against him and they took him from his father and they threw him in the well. Can you imagine, dear brothers and sisters, brothers, how can they have a living conscience to take their own young brother, and they are like, they are 10, like, you know, vigorous young men. And it was Yusuf and his little brother Binyamin. They, like, you know, these were from one mother, and Yusuf and Binyamin were like from another mother. So subhanAllah, the mother of Yusuf and Binyamin, she died after she delivered Binyamin. So they don't have a mother. And they're young. So they felt envious of them simply because of what? Because their father gave them much time and much care. Is this unfair? No, it's not. Why? Because when they were young, they were given the same time and the same care. But they forgot that because they didn't realize it. And this is why they said, if you read in the ayah, Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين. Let's analyze this ayah. إذ قالوا, they all said together, the 10 brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام from another mother. ليوسف وأخوه, indeed Yusuf and his brother Binyamin. أحب إلى أبينا من الحمد لله. They didn't say, you know, our father loves them and he doesn't love us. Alhamdulillah, they proved that their father loves both, you know, Yusuf and Binyamin and them too. But their problem is, he loved them more. He gave them time more. Didn't you ask yourselves why? No, they never. But they looked at it from another perspective, which is wrong. They said, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. We are a group of young men. He can count on us. These are children. So you should take care of us more than them. Is that true? Is that fair? Like grown, young, you know, men, I should take care of them and leave the children? And these children lost their mother? And they made a conclusion. They said, "Inna abana," they're talking about a prophet, Yaqub alayhi salam, "lafi dalal mubin," is in great error. MashaAllah. And then after that, they planned the crime to get rid of their brother. And they planned the tawbah before they committed the crime. It's exactly like some people today, they say, you know what? Let's inshallah have some cocaine. 1 kilogram. We'll make 1 million. And make tawbah after that inshallah. You see the plan from now. They will do something haram and they are planning the tawbah from now. And they don't know that like 999 is there, right? And they might catch them at any time. So that's exactly what they were doing. They said, اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا. Why? Why do you want to kill your brother or like banish him like in a land, like away from his father? يخلو لكم وجه أبيكم. We just want our father to look at us, which means like to give us attention. You will kill your own brother just for the attention of your father. You see how they were wrong.
وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين.
And inshallah you make tawbah and you become righteous people after that. So kill and make tawbah inshallah. So this is another lesson. We can do this. We can do this. And this is why, subhanAllah, there is nothing called perfect crime. They took him, threw him in the well, and they took off his shirt, and they brought it back. And listen, people who lie, they will always be discovered. So they choose something, they choose the right time to come back, so they will not be discovered, because they're going to act as if they're crying, but they're not really crying. So Allah described all of this.
وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ.
They choose al-Isha. They choose the time of Isha when it's completely dark. And they were crying. Oh, our dad. We lost our brother. They're acting.
قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا.
Oh, our father.
إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقَ.
Listen, this is the first lie. They're going to be discovered now. Because the night before, when they begged their father to send him, they said, أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. Send him with us, inshallah, and we promise you, he's going to eat and drink abundantly and play all in the area. Nobody's going to stop him. And now they are saying, إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقْ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. We went racing, and we left Yusuf to guard the bags.
There is nothing called perfect crime. Learn the lesson. And this is why they say, إِذَا كُنْتَ كَذُوبًا فَكُنْ ذَكُورًا.
If you want to be a professional liar, you have to remember every lie that you lied. Write them down. I lied yesterday, said this. Oh, I have to lie today, today, say this. But one day, lies have no legs. You will be discovered. So they just like slipped. They said, إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبَقْ. You promised to take him, to let him enjoy and play and eat. And you're telling me you went racing. And you put him to guard the bags. And look at this. You know, we say in Arabic, يَكَادُ الْمُرِيبُ أَنْ يَقُولَ خُذُونِي. You know, when a person does something wrong, he always feels inside, like, you know, everybody can see what's inside him. So it's like, you know, oh, they know I'm lying. So they said,
وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ.
We know you will not believe us even if we are telling the truth. As if they're saying, we are liars anyway. You see what I'm saying? That's what it is. Not only that, again, there is nothing called perfect crime. What did they do? Do you remember what I told you? They took off his shirt before they threw him into the well. And they slaughtered a goat and they got some blood and they stained some parts of the shirt with blood. Okay? Now, did the wolf eat him? No. But when they asked their father to give them permission to take Yusuf with them, what did he say? قال إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به. Just by the fact that you take him away from me, that will make my heart sad. وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون. And I'm afraid that the wolf might devour him while you're not attending to him. They said, here you go. He saved us. The excuse. When we come back, we'll tell him the wolf devoured him. So as if Yaqub عليه السلام gave them the excuse ready. So when they came back, you know, they said, قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب. So the wolf devoured him. So now they are done. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the blood that they came up with on his shirt He didn't say false blood, because false blood will be dam makdhub. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to exaggerate and how serious the crime is, He described the blood itself as if it's the embodiment of lying. He said dam kadhib. When we use the noun to describe the noun in Arabic, this is exaggeration. It's something beyond imagination. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِذَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And that's the last lesson. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Yourselves beautified something which is bad for you. It made it easy for you. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. It's time now to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me beautiful patience. Why, dear brothers and sisters? Why did he say this? And look at the next word he said, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. It's only Allah in this situation who can help me of what you are describing. In fact, the word yatasifun here doesn't mean describe, which is the literal meaning of tasif. It means takdibun. And Allah said this in Surah Al-Nahl. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُوا أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. So tasif here means lie. So he said to them, it's only Allah who can help me in this situation. Why? I want you to think about this. Can you imagine if, like, one of your children, one of your sons, is coming to tell you that I cut the arm of my other brother? He's your son too, right? So what shall you do? Will you punish him by cutting his arm? It's as if you are cutting your own arm. Because these are your two sons. So it's a situation where it becomes very, very difficult on the heart. Imagine his sons are telling him that we killed or we banished or we did something bad to our brother. So he said, it's only Allah who can help me to have patience in this situation. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what's beautiful patience? He said, "Huwa as-sabr alladhi la shakwa ma'a." What's beautiful patience? He said, it is patience in a situation where you just be patient and don't complain. And people who study the Quran to try to find mistakes in the Quran, as they claim, called the Orientalists al-Mustashriqeen, they came and said, okay, your Prophet said it's patience without complain. Right? Later on in the surah, what did, you know, Yaqub alayhi salam say when they came to him and they told, you know, when they see him, like, you know, crying and crying and crying, and they said, "Tallahi tafta'u tazkuru Yusuf hatta takuna haradan aw takuna min al-halikin." Said, you will keep remembering Yusuf for many years, and he's crying until you will be on the verge of death, or you will die. You will kill yourself crying. What did he say? قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله. Hold on, he said, أشكو. He said, I'm complaining. So the Orientalist said, how come that your Prophet said it's patience without complaint? And Yaqub alayhi salam is saying here, I am complaining, my anguish and my sadness, only to Allah. And the answer is, when the Prophet ﷺ said without complaining, he meant complaining to other human beings who cannot change the situation. They need help like you. But if we don't complain to Allah, to whom else shall we complain? If we cannot complain to Allah, to whom else shall we complain? So brothers and sisters, if you have a problem, cry to Allah. Complain to Allah. But never ever complain from Allah. And that's what most of us do. And I'm going to conclude with this example. You know, and this is like real situations in real life. When you look at your neighbors, sometimes who are not Muslims, okay? And mashallah, in the parking lot they have 5 cars. and they have a very good job, and they have 5 children. And you as a Muslim, you have only bus 11. You know bus 11? I call this bus 11, your legs. You don't have anything. You don't even have a motorcycle. Although I see, mashallah, lots of sisters are driving the motorcycles here. I've never seen this in Egypt or in Canada. Second, you have only one child and he's disabled. He has this ability. You don't have a good job. You know what do we do at that point? We look up and say, why? They are kuffar. And they have 5 cars. And 5 children. With green hair and green eyes. And I only have 1 child and he's disabled. And I pray 7 times a day. They never pray to you. What are we doing now? We're complaining from Allah. We can't do this. Allah is testing your, give me the word. And Surah Yusuf is called beautiful patience. So your life is between. When Allah gives you, say Alhamdulillah. When Allah denies you, he's testing your. I'll conclude the statement by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. I want you to write it and put it in front of your desk, in front of your door, wherever you go. Keep it with you. He said, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests me, I thank him for 4 reasons. Allahu Akbar. Think about this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it difficult for him, he thanks Allah. Who amongst us here, the audience, thank Allah when we are tested? When we go through hardship, do we remember to thank Allah? Do we think positively, as they say today? Do we see the good aspect or the positive aspect of it? So he said, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a hardship my way, will test me, I will thank Allah. Can we learn to do this, inshallah? To thank Allah when we go through a hardship? For 4 reasons. And write them so that you know them exactly. الأولى أنها لم تكن في ديني. Meaning, first, it's because I still have my faith. I didn't lose my faith because of that hardship. Alhamdulillah, because the greatest blessing ever is to be a Muslim. How many people, when they go through hardship, they start cursing and they leave the deen? Second, الثانية أنها لم تكن أكبر منها. So second, it could have been worse. What did I lose? A car? Alhamdulillah, I'm alive. And my family are okay. Everything else, you know, I can make it up. Allah will make it up for me. What did I lose? Some money? I can make money. Money cannot make me. Right? So think positively. So second, it could have been worse. I lost 1 finger. Alhamdulillah, I still have 9. You know what people say? If you have, you know, a bottle of water or a glass of water and it's half empty, I can tell you what type of person you are when you answer the question. What do you think of this cup of water? It's like, you know, it's half empty. You're a negative person. But when you say, Alhamdulillah, it's half full, you're a positive person. I want you to be positive. Think of what you have, not what you have lost. Thank Allah for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left with you, because Allah could take everything from you. الثالثة أنها كفارة لذنبي. Third, it is expiation for my sins. When Allah tests you and you are patient, Allah forgives your sins. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see someone, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps testing him, a test after a test after a test, it's because Allah loves him or loves her. Why? Because Allah wants to forgive all their sins before they meet with him. So he wants them to meet with him pure, with no sin. You know what other people say this? Like, you know, astaghfirullah. If Allah loves him, he wouldn't make him sick. He wouldn't make him lose his job. No, wallahi. He lost the job because he was doing haram in that job. Allah will give him another better job, inshallah. Always think positively. Always. الرابعة, and this is very important, أن كل مصاب بعد فقد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يهون. He said, the fourth reason is that any loss in this dunya, if you compare it to losing Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is nothing. And that's, by the way, that's what the Prophet said in the hadith. He said, if anyone is stricken with any calamity or disaster or problem in his life, let him compare it to losing me and it will be nothing in his eyes. And I'll conclude with this. Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested him with a disease in one of his foot. His foot was, you know, afflicted with something that's similar to what we call cancer today. So they told him, listen, if we keep waiting without doing something to your foot, this is going to spread in your body and you're going to die. So the only way is to amputate your foot, to cut your foot. And at that time, there was no anesthetic, there was no, you know, intensive care room or anything, or unit. So they will only use like a knife or a saw just to cut his foot. So they said, shall we get you to drink so you'll become drunk so you wouldn't feel the pain? He said, no. لا أستعين على طاعة الله بمعصية الله. I will never drink. Drinking is haram. He said, I want to take al muskir, like, you know, we'll just get you to, you know, something that will just, so they can't feel the pain. He said, no. If you want to cut my foot, let me make wudu and pray and cut my foot while I'm in sujood. So he made wudu and he started praying. And while he was in sujood, they started cutting his foot. And the only thing he was saying, like, ah. Oh. And until they finished, they brought hot water to spill it on his foot to stop the bleeding. And then he turned around and he said, give me my foot. So they gave him his foot. And he raised his foot to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Allahumma inni ushiduk anni lam amshi biha ila ma'asiya faj'alha tasbiqni ila al-jannah. Oh Allah, I bear witness, I never use this foot that's cut now to go to any place that will displease you. Oh Allah, make my foot go to Jannah and make me join my foot later on. So while he was making that dua, they came to him to tell him that one of his four children died. He continued the dua so patiently by saying, oh Allah, you have given me four limbs. You have given me two hands and two feet. You have taken one foot. You have taken one limb, but you left me three. So, oh Allah, thank you for leaving me three. Thank you for leaving me three. See what Allah has left you, not what you have missed. Oh Allah, you have given me four children. You have taken one, but you left me three. So thank you for leaving three children to me. That's the meaning of beautiful patience.